Hello, this is J.P. Kirsch, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guest, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest, press star 3 at any time on your telephone's keypad. That's star 3 to ask a question. Now let's welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, J.P., and thank you to all of the area residents who are participating on tonight's call. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we will discuss renewable energy with my special guest, Brett Aldifer, CEO and founder of Community Energy Incorporated. This format will allow you to listen and ask questions from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Now, before I introduce Brett, what I'd like to do is give a quick update on the status of vaccine in the district. As you may know, I was appointed to the Vaccine Task Force of Governor Wolf and have been serving on this task force with him and three other legislators for about a month and a half. During this time, Pennsylvania has really improved the vaccination rate. We were about the 45th state in the nation, one of the worst states in the nation in terms of getting folks vaccinated back in January and February. Now we've moved up into the 20s. We're in much better shape in terms of getting folks vaccinated, but we have a long way to go. Fortunately, President Biden has got us many more new doses of vaccine, and it looks like we'll be getting more both in April and in May. We hope that we can give everyone who wants to be vaccinated a first dose of the vaccine by June 30. This is so much better than what I thought and looked at where we were back in January. Actually, I thought it would take us easily until the end of the year, but it looks like we'll have first doses into folks by June 30. Tremendous step. The faucet of vaccine is open. Child care and teachers are pretty much completed for vaccination. Grocery store, food service workers, and first responders will get started for vaccinations in early April. And all those who are 1A, the seniors and healthcare workers and others, we're slowly getting to near the end of that. And that group, and hopefully by the middle of April, all folks in 1A would have received a first dose as well. In Philadelphia, there's a bunch of places to register. If you just have a phone, you can call the Philadelphia Health Department at 215-685-5488. To register in Philadelphia, if you're in 1A, call 215-685-5488. Also, the Black COVID Doctors Consortium has got a walk-in clinic. This is for phase 1B. That's going to be down at the Leah Corris Center. It starts the 25th and 26th of March. It's also the 29th and 30th and the 1st and 2nd from 10 to 4. That's walk up. If you're in a zip code, these zip codes are in my district, 19119, 19138, 19144, and 19150. These are all zip codes where you can just walk up to the Leah Corris Center and the Black Doctors Consortium will give you a vaccine. The Rite Aid at 7401 Olgon, that's the Rite Aid at Olgon at Washington Lane, is also providing vaccine Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And in Montgomery County, you can register also by phone. The phone number is 833-875-3967. That is, to register for vaccine in Montgomery County, call 833-875-3967. 6-7. That's if you're in the 1A group. You can make that call between 8 and 4 p.m. And finally, the Montgomery County is now opening and has opened a vaccine site at in Willow Grove, right in the 4th Senate District. So we've got some more options for getting vaccine, more than we've had in the past. I know that there's still long waiting lists, but I've also seen some wait lists come down. And so we're getting closer. I think by the end of June, we'll be in much better shape, and folks would have had at least one dose of the vaccine. Now, having shared all that, we'll certainly be willing to take questions with respect to the vaccine. However, our main focus for tonight is on renewable energy. That's why I'm so glad to have Brett Alderfer, as I said, CEO and founder of Community Energy Incorporated. Brett, give us a little sense of what you are up to and what we can see and expect for renewable energy here in Pennsylvania. Take it away.
Thanks, Senator. It's good to be with you as always. I'd start off by saying it didn't seem that long ago in 2018 when the International Panel on Climate Change said we have 12 years to cut emissions economy-wide by roughly 50% by 2030 to avoid severe, you know, impacts around, really catastrophic impacts here and around the globe. So now we're 2 years further along, so we have 10 years. And I'm sure all of us, certainly the people on this call, have seen in the last 2 years increasing impacts and urgency, hurricanes and fires and weather changes, and ocean rise and floods. So we need to be on that track, right? And to introduce where renewable energy plays in that quickly, to get to 50% reductions by 2030 economy-wide, some sectors are going to take longer than others. And the power sector is actually one, and it's one of the bigger contributors. Power and transportation are two big segments. It's one that can actually reduce emissions fairly simply and mostly economically. So that's where the targets come from for the power sector that you heard from President Biden and others around the globe, that by 2030, we probably need at least 75 to 80% carbon reductions out of the power sector if we're going to be on track, because there are parts of the economy, concrete plants, steel plants, shipping, airline transportation, that are going to take longer. So we need to work on the power sector with some urgency. And the second thing I'd say to introduce the topic, as you well know, Senator, is that the economics have changed dramatically in the last 10 years in the ability to deploy renewable energy economically. So at this point, particularly the first 20 to 30% renewable energy that we bring on the grid actually saves ratepayers money in electricity rates because of the following dynamic. One, the largest carbon emitters are coal plants in the power sector. And there are still a good number of expensive coal plants. They're expensive to operate, that with the new cost of producing solar and wind, we can actually lower the cost and beat that cost of producing energy by retiring coal plants, accelerating the retiring of the coal plants with the first round of renewable energy. And the second dynamic, which isn't as often recognized, is that because solar energy particularly, when you bring it on at scale, if we get to 5 or 10% of our energy in Pennsylvania from solar energy, we're currently at 0.5%, you have enough solar producing during the peak summer hours when the air conditioners are running full blast and energy is most expensive. So on those hot summer days when wholesale energy prices go up, we're familiar with that phenomenon, what happened in Texas, it's similar. When demand goes up, electricity prices go up, and since solar energy, once you get to scale, will match that summer demand and produce more energy at times when it's needed the most, it actually has price suppression or peak shaving and it lowers the price of wholesale energy with that first 5 to 10% of solar energy brought on. So both the costs have come down in cheaper than the most expensive coal, and second, getting to that first round of 5 and 10% has price benefits by lowering the peak pricing during summer months. So all that goes to say, as the senator knows well because he's worked on this policy at the state level, is it's really time to deploy the first round of renewable energy, save money, and get on track with carbon reduction to get towards that 80% goal.
So thank you. I've got a number of questions before we begin to let callers in. Let me ask you, because we want to break this down for my, as we look at just neighbors.
Senator, pardon my interruption. I'd like to...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to remind our listeners that if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest tonight, press *3 on your telephone's keypad. To ask a question, just press *3 at any time. Thank you, Senator. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we want to make sure people call in, and pressing *3 makes that happen. So I'm thinking about my neighbors, and first question I have is, why should we be concerned about what you have described as this 80% reduction? I mean, we got people who basically using PECO as the company that provides heat and electric for some. What difference does it make to the everyday person as to whether the energy comes from the sun or coal or any other place?
Yeah, that is the question that is sometimes hard for any of us to really internalize in our day-to-day decisions, right? So we know that we are trickling emissions into the atmosphere from fossil fuels, you know, and have for the last 30 and 40 and 50 years. And so the Earth, we were at a nice balance in the Earth's atmosphere that kept the temperature of the Earth constant for, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of years. By trickling in this coal and natural gas and auto emissions over the years, we're just slowly adding more carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, which acts like a greenhouse and starts to heat things up and change the weather. So even though on an individual basis it seems like, what could any of us do, right? The costs from hurricanes and floods and eventually ocean rise and fires in the West actually makes the cost of cleaning up our energy supply look pretty manageable. So on an individual level, in one sense, it's really not something we can each do, but it's going to affect all of us and already does. And so what we really need is policy leadership, if I could say it, Senator, like the type you and others are trying to bring to the state to say, come on, we can actually save people money and eliminate climate risk over the next 10 years without mentioning the fact that we create a lot of jobs in the neighborhoods when we do it. So that's how I'd answer it. What do you think, Senator?
Well, I think that's good. I know folks are concerned about jobs. Jobs are a major concern all around the state. If we go with more solar or more wind, what will it mean for jobs?
Well, I think we need both, solar and wind. But the one thing about solar is it comes in modular panels that work on rooftops, and they work on carports and parking lots, and it works on 500-acre solar facilities in rural areas. So when we did a recent study on the impact of Pennsylvania going 10% solar, we found 65,000 jobs spread in every county of the state. Some forms of energy might be less distributed, but Philadelphia County and surrounding counties all had a healthy share of jobs because there's solar that fits into any kind of neighborhood, from rooftops to commercial facilities to rural areas. So jobs is just another reason alone to get moving on renewable energy.
That's an important, very important area. So JP, let's turn it over to you and see if we've got, see what the callers have in terms of questions. Britt, thanks for answering those initial questions from me, but let's hear from callers.
Yes, yeah, Senator.
All right, let's we'll start with some of the email questions that we got. Marjorie from Abington writes, what is the current percentage of the PA grid that is provided by renewable energy sources?
Well, Energy Information Administration has it at 4% of Pennsylvania energy from renewable, a large part of which is conventional hydro. And to focus on one technology, solar, we're currently at just under 0.5%. And that's our current target. It's 0.5% solar in Pennsylvania. Surrounding states have significantly higher targets. Maryland has a 14.5% target. New Jersey and New York, high percent targets. So the answer to the question is 4% total, a lot of which is conventional hydro, and 0.5% solar.
Well, let me break that down.
Question. Quick follow-up question.
Yes.
So that's the percentage, but what's the capacity? Like, what could we get from the real technologies, what companies can produce? What are we holding back?
Well, that's it. And you know that I think we're just behind on policy in this state. Certainly, the first 10% load served by solar is all benefits, as I described. It's lower energy costs and jobs across the state. From there, you can get to 30 and 40% renewables very economically, and it fits with natural gas technology that we already have in place and transmission that we already have in place. We've built a lot of natural gas generation in the Mid-Atlantic, including Pennsylvania, over the last 10 years. And that natural gas generation can ramp around increased wind and solar. So you can certainly get to 30 and 40% absolutely clean energy very quickly and economically. That's the first step. And then start to get some trade-offs on how quickly can we either clean up gas by sequestering carbon from gas or adding batteries or adding electric vehicles at a sufficient rate that we can draw some power from electric vehicles parked around the city when needed. So it gets interesting, but still very doable even beyond that 40%. But that 40% renewables with hundreds of thousands of jobs is economic and doable right now.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. If we're ready, we'll go to the callers now. Our first caller is Vanessa. Vanessa, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Yes, good evening, Senator Haywood, and good evening, sir. I am most interested in how you can reinvigorate the electric grids and the gas grids so that they can be ready for solar energy. And what will be the cost to the people who are utilizing this service? And is there training for those who will be interested in doing this type of work?
Great questions. You got three questions in. Thank you, Vanessa. Brent, what do you think?
Yeah, it's excellent, Vanessa. It's just excellent. So the first part is just really the opportunity is that the grid we've already built and the natural gas we've added, as I was mentioning, allows us to add a large percentage of new solar and new wind over the next 5 and 10 years without major changes to the grid or to the existing generation. So that's the good news. It's right there in front of us. And then in terms of the impact and cost, that first step, that next 5 years of bringing on jobs and building solar and wind, done right, should have no impact in cost to the ratepayer. There should actually be savings to go around because of the dynamics I mentioned earlier, retiring coal plants, and producing power on hot summer days when you need it most. That's second. And then third, the training. Philadelphia has actually done some of the best work, Senator, I think, on beginning jobs training and showing the potential, even though we're still at a really very low rate compared to what we could do potentially. We have Solarized Philadelphia and contractors like Solar States and others who are training and employing, young people out of high school and retraining folks from other job areas to install solar. One of the criticisms that the fossil industry used to make of the solar industry is it takes too many jobs to produce each megawatt hour of power. And they said that's why it's so expensive. Well, now that it's not as expensive to produce solar energy, the fact that we can employ a lot of folks to make the change, it's just an economic boon. And so there's no reason other than state policy that we shouldn't be doing some big building programs across the state and high employment and employment training.
Is there a place people can go to look into training? Is it their local VOTEC evening school or where is there a one stop where people can call to figure out they want to get change in jobs and get this training?
Senator, I don't know of any one spot yet, do you? But certainly the folks
in the city
of Philadelphia.
I'm not familiar with a central location either. I know community college is starting some programs. As Brent mentioned, Solar States has internships and training programs, as does Solarized. So right now it's not centralized. However, I do think this is a direction in which we certainly should be headed, as well as expanding the existing training opportunities. I did have one follow-up question for Vanessa, which is about how much money can people make in these jobs? We're really trying to raise pay for individuals so they can have a family-sustaining wage. What do people get paid in these jobs?
These are good-paying jobs, and of course it varies from level of installer to trained electricians. But you're going to see jobs, many jobs, in $30,000, $40,000, and $50,000 a year jobs and up as this expands. So it's pay is good. It's really a matter of can we accelerate the build-out. It's like, home builders talk about, let's build more homes, employ more folks. That's really what this is with renewable energy. Let's get the building underway, and then there are good, high-paying jobs, and they're valuable jobs.
All right. Thanks, Brent. Let's go next to Karen in Abington. Karen, you're on the line with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Yes, hi. Good night. I have a question. As a homeowner, how would you be able to, upgrade your house, for renewable energy or, putting solar panel on? Is there grants out there? Is it a tax write-off? So just curious to see how, a homeowner would be able to go through that process. Thank you.
I can give you, Senator, my cut on that.
Thanks.
There are not large incentives in Pennsylvania, but the prices have come down such that if you get quotes from any reputable solar installer in your area, you'll see that there are still tax credits that can ease the cost of the capital, and there are renewable energy credits that fluctuate some, so it's hard to know exactly what level of revenue you might get from that year to year. But in addition to the power produced in the set off against your electricity bill, you'll get a renewable energy credit that has some value. So you put those together, it's right about a break even in Pennsylvania at probably 7 to 10 years still as a payback for a homeowner. The second thing I'd mention that is pending in Pennsylvania is community solar bills, which would allow folks who may not have the right roof or the right orientation to get the most efficient solar to sign up for solar from a community solar installation somewhere nearby in their neighborhood that's cited for optimum solar and the best cost. And several states have that, and I think Pennsylvania might be soon on the verge of passing a community solar bill. So that'd be another way that a homeowner could participate if your particular economics or orientation or building restrictions might not allow you to have solar on your home.
All right, thanks, Brent.
Seems like a lot, Senator. A lot, Senator, comes back to me saying, some of those policies you've been working for in Harrisburg, we need to get passed. So I don't really know if you need me on this call. I think you need you.
Well, I think our neighbors want to know how this is all going to work.
Right. Yes, sir.
All right, next, let's go to Germantown. Thelma, you're on the line with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Thank you. Yes, my question is, if you're not a homeowner and you obviously receive energy, the majority of the residents get energy from PECO, what type of impact can I have as a renter? If you rent, how do you make the correlation with the energy saving cost for? What type of impact could you have in terms of being a renter, if any?
That's a great question. And so far, the options have been reasonably limited, and that is you can sign up for green electricity providers, but that helps generally, but it doesn't result in increased renewable energy in your neighborhood or in the state or more jobs in the state. It may simply be looking for renewable energy from out of state or other places. So that is one way to have some impact is to buy from a green energy supplier. What we need are more direct ways to contribute, as your question suggests. And that's where I think the first thing, again, I would point to is to urge passage of a community solar bill in Pennsylvania, because that would allow renters and others who may not have the facility for whatever reason to put up their own solar to get the power on their bill from solar panels just as though they were on their roof, but they'll come from a community solar installation somewhere in their area. So I think it's the right question, and again, I would like to see that policy passed in Pennsylvania so that everybody could elect to get solar if they choose to do so, whether they rent, own, or have a building suitable. And rent or owning, either one, doesn't mean you have the right roof or the right place to put solar panels. So I think we really probably need that community solar bill to let everyone step up and make a difference.
I do. That's a great question and a fantastic answer. I was thinking outside of the renewable energy production, as a consumer, how do you look at the value of getting an electric vehicle, the battery-operated vehicle, as opposed to the standard vehicles that we have? Could Thelma make a difference by getting an electric vehicle?
Absolutely right. Senator, is first of all, the second biggest contributor on emissions causing global warming by segment, and might have even crossed over into being the first, is transportation and cars. And electric vehicles get their power from the grid. So some say, well, we have to clean up the grid as well. But the fact is, about less than 20% of the energy that's burned in a gasoline internal combustion engine, a gasoline car, actually does work, and the rest just goes out the tailpipe as heat and emissions. So even just switching to an electric vehicle, the efficiency alone means we're making much better use of our energy. And then as the grid gets cleaner, which it is, as we add more renewables, that whole segment gets cleaner at the same time. And finally, one thing I'm working on right now with others is to get to some scale on electric vehicles. Let's say we had 30% of vehicles were electric. Then when those are plugged in, that's a huge resource of batteries that's plugged in across the city and the state that could be drawn on periodic times when peak production is necessary. So it can actually work with renewables as a big battery pack. Just to put that into scale, some of us have probably heard of power walls that Tesla's marketing and others to put a power wall so that if your power goes out, you might have a few hours or a day of power from this battery on your wall. Well, electric vehicles are 4 to 5 power walls just in the battery in that vehicle. So if you're driving an electric vehicle, you have 4 or 5 power walls already sitting in your parking spot somewhere. So you're right, Senator, pointed out renewables need to advance, and then EVs are really going to help solve that problem by 2030. Electric vehicles.
Yeah,
EVs,
I heard Ford Motors say that they're going to be really switching over to electric vehicles in the next 10 years. And I remember talking to someone from General Motors who said, this was last year when I talked to someone from General Motors, who said the cost of electric vehicles and the cost of the normal cars that we have now should be about equal, I think they said by 2023. So we're getting much closer to where it's going to be an even choice in terms of spending money. So that's the path we're on. Thank you so much, Dama.
All right, I'm going to remind our listeners that you're listening to a live telephone town hall with Senator Art Haywood and his guest Brent Alderfer, CEO and founder of Community Energy, Inc., and we're talking about renewable energy. If you have a question about the vaccine or the vaccine situation, we'll try to get some of those in at the very end of the call tonight. But if you have a question about renewable energy, press *3 on your telephone, and we'll get you on live with Senator Haywood and his guest. So after the Logan section, Florence, you're live on the phone call with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What I was wondering about for, like, in this area here, if 2 or 3 people got their roofs and things done, how would that help this area? Because everybody won't do it, and I'm sure that they don't have any grants or anything for that, you know. So, I mean, how would that help us?
I mean, it's absolutely right what you say. And first of all, even if the community went together and said we wanted to all get and tie together our solar system, it's just not allowed, current regulation. So it's one person making a difference to make that installation, which adds up over time. But like you say, you're not going to see instant savings probably under current Pennsylvania policy. You will be making a difference, and you'll cut your electricity bill, and you will pay that back, that investment back, over likely 7 to 10 years. So that's the way it makes a difference for an individual owner. But I'd like to see a little more flexible ability of a community to invest in solar and potentially lower their costs for the community. And that's just not available under current regulation. So good questions, good point, I should say, to make. Good
Definitely.
Point.
Now, you mentioned cut electric bill. Will a person who gets solar for their home, what are the chances that the electric bill will actually be lower than what it is now?
And there are companies in particular areas that do those rooftop installations, which we don't, that can give you an exact quote, and you can see the answer for your home, because it depends on orientation and your utility bill and usage. Most likely, your utility bill will stay about the same for a period of just doing a rough average of 7 to 10 years, after which you will have paid that investment off. And then It's like paying off a car payment or a home payment. Then you've got your capital paid off with fuel-free electricity. So on the long term, there is savings. Up front, you may not feel the difference immediately. And that's one of the difficulties of financing solar, is why it takes some policy to encourage it. Because it's like any long-term investment. Most of us don't make decisions based on a seven-year, you know, payback. It's like we all have our own urgency in front of us day to day, right? So you will see savings long-term. You probably won't see much, if any, up front.
Hold on. Now, I hear you. What happens after year seven again? You pay even. Now you're in year eight. What's your electric bill look like after you paid off the cost of putting the solar on your house?
Well, then you should see a significant reduction. Let's say solar produces half of your power, and at night and other times, you're still buying half from the grid, from the utility. Then once you get the payoff, which will take, it could take 7 to 10 years, you should cut your utility bill in half in that example. So there are significant savings after it's paid off. And then there are programs that Philadelphia is working on to allow you to, almost like a 30-year mortgage on a home. It would be tough to buy a home if you didn't have a low interest rate and a long-term mortgage. And if you spread out those solar payments with a long-term loan or low interest, then you would see savings up front immediately. And that's where we need the policy intervention to be like, how many mortgages would we really have in place if we didn't have Fannie Mae or some other mortgage program, right? And it's the same on this long-term investment in solar. We just need the financing programs available. And there are some in Philadelphia for homeowners who want to install solar. But that's what we need. We need, it's all capital. There's no fuel cost. There's no utility bill. It's just, how do we get that upfront investment paid out over time?
I got it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that leads us to a question that was sent in by a listener through the email. I want to know, how often do you have to replace the solar panels? And, you know, if your investment is paid back in 7 years, hopefully the panels last longer than that.
They do indeed. The output from a solar panel drops about 0.5% a year. So after 25 years, you're still getting 88% of the power you got when you first installed it. So that's why they're on satellites. There are even solar panels that have been removed from installations after 25 years are reused around the globe in applications where they may need lower cost solar, because they'll go 30 and 35 years. That's the advantages of solar. It's solid state. Nothing moves. It's just a slow reduction in power, about 0.5% a year over 30 and 35 years.
All right. Let's go back to the callers. Mount Airy, Deborah, you're live on the line with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, or good evening, actually. So I think you already had answered my first question, was generally what was the cost. And I understand it would depend on my property and how many panels.
Sure.
Okay. So, and then I really won't recover that until after 7 or so years. Okay, I got that, because it was kind of high, the estimate that I had gotten, and at the time I had not replaced my roof, which I assume you have to do that first.
You do want to look at the quality of your roof, right? Is that what you did, Deborah? That's smart, yeah.
Yeah, so I delayed anyway because I needed to get that done. So that, but otherwise you had already answered my question in your later responses. So at this point, the only thing I'll point out then was when you were talking about training, I recall, I'm not sure if they're still offering it, but the OIC of Philadelphia was offering solar training.
Good resource.
That may be the case. Right. That would be great.
Double check.
We'll double check that.
They were offering it, so but that was
okay.
Otherwise, you answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for alerting us to that OIC is another place to get training. That's critical information that we can share. Thanks so much.
All right, let's go to Debbie in Mount Airy. Debbie, you're on the line with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Good evening, Senator Haywood and guest. Thank you for taking my question. First, I would just like to say I can attest to the solar panel program here in Philadelphia. My bills were generally $250 to $300 a month. The first month after installation, they dropped to $40, $30. My last bill was $25. And I took advantage of the federal credit, energy credit.
Yes.
And that took $5,200 off my bill. And usually I owe taxes at the end of the year, I mean for the previous year. And this year I did not I don't owe anything. So I'm very pleased with the program, very pleased with the installers. And I'm already saving money. I already pretty much, you know, saved on what I paid for the installation of the solar panels. So
under that program, you would say you
story.
Had much quicker than 7-year payback under the Philadelphia program, right? That's
absolutely, yes. Yes.
Nice. Nice, real
numbers.
Yeah.
Real numbers. And like I said, very pleased. And I can monitor my system so I see how much I'm saving. I see how much I'm giving back to, greening our community, in terms of trees being saved or what trees, the CEO that trees would protect us from. So it's really good, and I really advise people to take a look. Of course, as the previous caller said, you have to look at your roof, and, my roof wasn't brand new, but I went ahead and took a chance on it, anyway.
Yeah. If you care to, you might want to share where you started that process for other folks interested.
Yes, I went to the City of Philadelphia's website, and I'm sorry, I can't recall the name of it, but there's a website specifically for Solarize. Solarize Philly.
Solarize Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Solarize Philly.
Nice.
That's where I started. And then a representative from one of the companies came out and explained the whole program to me, broke down the cost. They do offer discounted loans, low-interest loans, as
yes.
you mentioned.
Yes.
I actually didn't have – I took another route and just found some ways to pay for it, from my own credit, ability.
Yeah,
they come out, the whole process, they guide you through the whole thing. They set up your GATs, where you get I get credit.
Account.
So I
credit
get credit.
Account. Yeah.
That's why I think that's why my solar is low, because I get this credit.
Solar credit. Yeah.
GATs administration, maybe you can explain that. So I get credit that way. So yeah, it's step by step. They come out, they check your roof. They first assess your roof to make sure solar panels can be installed, and they come inside, look at your attic, and then they design it. They tell you how many solar panels you'll be getting. The particular company that I use, Kiss Electric, was the provider, and that was an electric company. I don't know if they're still in business now, but there are three or four other providers that are part of Solarize Philly, and they take you step. So it took about, there were some delays because of, the pandemic and everything. But I was able to get it done in August.
Fantastic.
Nice
wow.
description. Yeah, I couldn't have said
that
it better.
Is really
that
tremendous.
That GATS payment you're getting is that solar credit I said that adds on to your electricity savings, because you can get payments for producing solar electricity. And the Generation Attribute Tracking System, GATS, is what tracks those credits for you.
Right.
So you've provided a complete description, really. Nicely done.
Thank you.
I have a follow-up question. Debbie, that's tremendous, but this is related. Will Debbie be able to sell the solar energy that might be in excess? Like, if she has excess solar energy, is she going to be able to sell it and even make some more money?
Yeah, at the end of the year, it's on an annual basis. you get credit for every kilowatt hour you produce from your solar system comes off of your electricity bill, even if in 1 month you may have used more electricity than you produced that month, like December or January, where you have low solar production. You get annual net metering, so you get credit for your summer production in months when you need it. That's first, and that's the biggest economic benefit. Second, if you would produce more than your total bill, which most times the installations are sized that you don't do that, but if you do, then you do get some payment back from the utility, but it's a lower rate than your retail bill. It's the avoided cost rate from the utility. So if you have some utility bill remaining every month, as you do, then you're probably not producing more solar than your entire utility bill, but you're still getting significant savings, correct?
Wow. I think she's off. That's fantastic.
Yes, she's off. Okay, I want to remind our listeners at this point that you're listening to a live telephone town hall with State Senator Art Haywood and his guest Brent Altifer, and they're discussing renewable energy. Senator Haywood will be hosting a Facebook Live tomorrow at 11 a.m., and his guest there is also Brent. So if we don't get to your question tonight, join Senator and his guest tomorrow live at Facebook Live at 11 a.m. And we'll also give you, before we end the call tonight, the number for the Montgomery County Vaccine Hotline if you've been waiting to ask a vaccine question. All right, let's go next to Jennifer in Glenside. Jennifer, you're on live with Senator Haywood and our guest.
Hello. I have a three-story Victorian with a slanted roof, and I don't know if I am eligible for solar, but I was thinking maybe I would rather have a windmill because the Mennonites use a windmill for electricity, and then it wouldn't be such an issue if I have to redo the roof or something. And I heard about a situation where someone was made to take a windmill down because of the noise. The neighbors didn't like the noise. So I was hoping that in Glenside we're allowed to have windmills. So I have two questions. One, is a three-story Victorian good for solar? And two, do we have good laws for so we won't have to take down our windmills because of noise pollution?
On the first question, the easiest way is to have a solar installer call Solarize Philadelphia or other sources to look at your roof. A steep slope roof isn't necessarily bad for solar, but you need enough open area facing south, undisturbed by trees. You're not blocked by trees. And so you may or may not meet that, as we were saying earlier. Not all homes work for solar. On wind, believe it or not, southeastern Pennsylvania is not the strongest area for consistent winds, which are necessary to make even small wind turbines economic. So you don't see much in southeastern Pennsylvania. And then local, either township or homeowner association or other municipal restrictions would apply, and you have to just check locally on that. You certainly couldn't put a large wind turbine, but you wouldn't need a large wind turbine for a residential bill. But even a smaller one, it's tough to make the economics work. Usually, solar is better economics than trying to do a small wind turbine. That's what I would tell you generally. But I would still check with an installer on what solar options might be available.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. Appreciate the call. In terms of the regulations and the rules related to small wind turbines, we'll have to check that out. I don't have an answer at this time, but we'll check that out. We'll follow up and get an answer. I did want to briefly follow up with the job training comment that was mentioned for OIC. And I have found that there is a lady by the name of Delina Smith. And Delina Smith is in charge of the energy program where folks can get the training to do solar installation and other energy installation. Her phone number, the phone number for OIC is 215-236-7700. 235-236-7700 and ask for Delana Smith. Delana Smith at OIC. Just wanted to add that, JP.
All right. If we're ready to get back to the phones, we're going to go to Rose in Mount Airy. Rose, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Yes. Thank you for taking my question. And thank you, Senator Haywood, for educating us on this. My question is, I think you mentioned earlier that you had written some legislation to facilitate renewables, and I'd like to understand more about what that legislation is and how that would help us.
Thank you so much. Glad to do so. So for it's basically this. Electric power companies buy energy, and we want them to buy more energy from solar and wind companies. We want to require the electric power companies to buy at least 5%, going to 10% from solar companies. Same thing for more wind. Other states around us do require the power companies to buy more solar and more wind. So unfortunately, Pennsylvania is behind some of our surrounding states. Once the power companies are required to buy more solar, then we will have more solar production in our state. Second, we want the power companies to buy solar at what's called the grid level, not just the individual house level, but at the grid level is the more massive purchase of solar and wind. Once we can get the power companies to buy more solar and wind, particularly at the grid level, at the mass level, then we'll be able to, over time in the next 10 to 20 years, shift dramatically away from relying on oil and gas and coal. I do want to share that these mining companies, oil and coal in Pennsylvania, have been in decline for a long time. They are in decline. They're not coming back. Thousands of people have lost their jobs because coal is in decline. So one way we can save some families is to create new jobs for these families that are losing jobs in this renewable energy area. So the benefits will be A, more energy produced by solar and wind, more jobs created from these industries. I will say one final point on this question. Farmers in Pennsylvania can save their farms if they put solar farms, they put solar panels on their farms. This will put farmers in a position, many farmers are really struggling in Pennsylvania, and if they can lease their land for solar production, they can make it.
All right. Thank you, Senator. And as promised, I want to let the listeners know that if you ready your pen and pencil and pen and paper, we have those hotline numbers for you. The Philadelphia Department of Public Health COVID hotline is 215-685-5488. That's 215-685-5488. And if you're in Montgomery County, the Montgomery County COVID hotline number is 833-875-3967. That's 833-875-3967. All right, I think we have time for one more call, Senator. We'll go out to Darlene in West Mount Airy. Darlene, you're on the line with Senator Haywood.
Thank you so much. Good evening, gentlemen. A lot of my questions were answered because I just was a little confused in the beginning when I was listening to you about the solar energy. What I don't still understand is that why is it that PECO can't be made to be to come up to compliance, like to do the solar grid at the level that you need it at? I remember when they were changing televisions over where you couldn't use your antenna anymore and they were forcing you to get cable because you wouldn't be able to see programs. Why is it that they can't do that with PECO and major electric companies so we can save the planet and make things better?
Wow, Senator, that's a great question.
I'm probably the first one to address that. Yes, I agree.
Yep,
And we need legislation from the Pennsylvania General Assembly. The legislation that I just described will move us in that direction. Now, it needs to be passed. It's one thing to introduce it. It's another thing to pass it. So we will need more Pennsylvania politicians to agree that this kind of legislation is required so we can make the transition so we can get more renewable energy. Governor Wolf just announced early this week that he was going to have the state of Pennsylvania purchase a significant share of their electric from solar clean energy sources. Now, the governor can do it for the government. He can't do it for the whole state, and we need the General Assembly to act. And I am one of the leaders in trying to get the General Assembly to act, but that's what it's going to take. We're going to need legislation to make it happen. Hopefully we can make some progress on that this year.
Could it be a voting question?
It's not going to be on the, it's not a ballot question. No, it's not a ballot question. It's not a ballot question. What I would say, if you are interested in being an advocate for renewable energy, moving to renewable energy, moving to solar, moving to wind, I encourage you to join a statewide coalition that is advocating for exactly the same thing. Now, Brent, you may want to suggest a statewide coalition that Darlene could join. There's always a Penn Environment. But you may know of some other statewide coalitions where Darlene's voice, when it's added, would be helpful.
I think I would call Senator Penn Environment, and they can loop you in, because she framed it exactly right, and you've got the legislation pending, and now it just needs political support.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have for this telephone town hall. Turn it back over to Senator Haywood for some closing remarks.
Thank you all for participating in our telephone hall discussion, to those who listened in as well as to those who asked questions. Special thanks to our special guest, Britt Aldifer. I want to thank as well Vanessa, Karen, Thelma, Florence, Deborah, Debbie, Jennifer, Rose, and Darlene. Those are some tremendous questions that you ask and will shed light for everyone who was listening. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171, or you can visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in Senator Art Haywood's telephone town hall. You've been a great audience. Thank you for sharing your evening with us.